Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, it's that time again on a Wednesday evening at the 8 o'clock hour. I am the person that's called Citizen Payne, also known as the Sun. This is the Kay Thompson Live Show, and you are a lady. Hold on.
Hold up my foot.
What's your name?
Kay Thompson, everybody. Excuse me, I'm still in horse form, you know. What is it? This rag plant here in the city, you know, and my home has been horse for, you know, a few weeks now. It's finally leaving because of the weather. But anyway, hello, and we have a good show for you tonight. Really, 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 it's like a comedy. Trump is a comedy. I can't help but laughing, even though it's pathetic and he's dangerous. Good Lord, is this man dangerous? How about you, Eric? What's your opinion of dump the Trump?
The whole existence of the Trump scenario is really, it is a circus, but it's getting to be sad after a while, and just hearing, like, you know, we're watching the press conference today, and you said he was just rambling. Hold on, let's just take this off. Hold on for a second. Let's take off the speaker. You put it up to your ear. Put it up to your ear. And we're just having some technical talk here. We're real technical with the two outlets of the phone. But anyway.
You're real technical. I'm not the tech person.
Right. Anyway, you know, it's just one big circus watching this guy talk today. And he's just rambling. And, you know, I just wonder, you know, if I don't know how people could sit still and listen to this guy, because he's so full of it. I mean, after the first references to himself, within the first 15 minutes of me looking at him, going to hear him speak, if I was looking for a potential candidate to get behind, and if I heard him within the first 15 minutes to reference himself after three or five times, I'm out of there. So I just wonder, that's got to tell you something about an individual. I just wonder really how many people that really support this guy can really support him. He's an idiot. But
or take him seriously.
That's true. We have to take him deadly serious. But let's welcome Byron Saunders. Byron, to the show. How you doing, Brother Byron Saunders, this evening in the midst of all of this stuff going on?
How are you, Byron?
Well, thank you. I'm blessed and highly favored, and watching the swamp that's in full force down in D.C., you know, we got swamp rats and snakes all in the swamp today, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
oh, yeah.
And of course, it's just not in D.C. They had the audacity to come up here to New York to try to stir the swamp up here, you know. And so it's like, and of course, the world, whole world is watching, and they laughed at him. That's the part that people are forgetting. They laughed at him on the general floor of the United Nations.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's kind of, but I don't think people are forgetting it. I think, you know, this is once again, because, you know, that's something that once you hear about your president getting laughed at on his home turf at the place that we host, that we pay for, you know, we're the ones who foot the bill for everybody else around the world to come here. And that's kind of a talking point of that other side, right? Why do we have to pay for the UN, yada, yada, yada? So you figure when the landlord comes in the house, everybody might sit up a little bit straighter if he has something to say. But when you get laughed at right there by other world leaders on your home turf with all of that, game over. No need to report any more news at that. We don't talk about anything else. We stop the game right there and tell you, know what, Donnie, thanks for the job you did. But come on over here and sit next to me, baby, because you are embarrassing the United States. He got laughed at when the other leaders heard him when the other leaders heard him try to spread his BS that he normally does and do his normal shtick, they laughed in his face. We've done that. I mean, it should be a running joke now. Whenever he says this is the most in history, the absolute only time, and the this and that, come on. This is ridiculous. It's getting to be ridiculous now. And the fact that people could look at this guy with a serious face, you got to take him serious, but it's just,
you don't
get past go, because the whole world has laughed at you, and the whole world knows that this guy that America is in a predicament right now with Donald Trump as the presidency. Go ahead, Ma. You want to say? I'm sorry.
Yeah. And then can you imagine him addressing the United Nations?
Well,
how can anyone take this person seriously?
Yeah, I've still
really.
I still want to watch that video.
Yeah.
In entirety because they didn't show it. Interestingly, on the news clip I saw, they referenced it. He was saying something. They cut out for a split second when they actually laughed, right, and cut to a wide shot or something like that, and cut to him right after they laughed at him when he was saying, well, I didn't expect that, but that's okay. It's interesting how they cut that clip out. To me, it was kind of fascinating. But I'm going to watch that on YouTube.
He rambles. He doesn't talk. He doesn't do anything, but rambles on and on and on and on and on again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he is he's in the news as much as Bill Cosby.
Right, right.
They're
both
clowns. They're both pathetic. And I don't know what's going on,
right.
But, you know, Trump's days are short.
Let's get Wayne Gilman in here. And
Wayne.
Wayne, how you doing this evening? go ahead. Wayne Gilman, legendary newsman, everybody. Here he is with his perspective.
You.
I had to give you your intro, my brother.
Well, I appreciate that. And I guess I've lived long enough to be a legend like your mom.
Right.
The thing is,
you're a legend, Wayne. Don't worry about it. Listen, you don't get to be director of news over WLIB BLS, you know, without any talent. Come on.
What do you think, Wayne, about that?
You know, but I tell you, it was a spectacle. It was really a spectacle. I looked at him. I look at his gesticulations. I look at the color of his skin. I mean, he turned from an orange to a red. You know, he never answered questions directly. It was just a spectacle. And I don't know, I had an interruption at one point. I watched most of it, but I had an interruption at one point. I didn't get a chance to see the very end. But I was told that one of the lady, Dr. Ford, who was accusing Brett Kavanaugh, I can't think of his last name.
Kavanaugh.
Of having inappropriate behavior with her, took a lie detector test. Was that done today? Or
yeah, let's just put a point in this thing about Trump getting laughed at the United Nations, because I want to go back and jump into Brett Kavanaugh, and then we'll finish up with Cosby tonight. But
right,
the fact of getting laughed at the UN is I mean that kind of says it all. I mean, you said something interesting. Even though I guess you were referring to the press conference, but also with the speech at the UN, his gesticulations, his body language is really interesting,
yeah.
Right? Because I had mentioned that to my mom when he was saying, let's talk about the press conference today, when he was talking about, you know, and Obama even was going to wage war, whatever lie he told about Barack, he does this kind of, this TikTok-y thing with his head where he tilts it back and forth. And I think that's when he's kind of, you know, just spinning the lie in his head.
Right.
But it's interesting, the body language of this guy, and it's interesting that you picked up on it too, Wayne, and I guess, you know, maybe we're a little bit late to the scene. I just thought it was his goofiness or whatever, but he's really got some tics to him that are giving us, I think, and maybe clearly you've noticed it too, an insight to his psychology, right, or the way he thinks, this guy thinks, right?
Oh, I agree. I mean,
yeah,
the thing
I
is that I... Yeah, it's been there for some time, but the thing is, it's just it was so apparent today, and I
exactly.
tell you, in a way, I think the press, and I speak of the news conference this evening. I did watch the address at the UN, and you know, okay, he went off script, and obviously, I guess he thought he was in front of his campaign supporters when he made that crack about America is doing better since he's done better than any other president. You know, the whole business is self-praise and everything else, and just the fact that he is so thin-skinned, you know, he's so vulnerable when it comes to just merely asking a question. And this is what I, you know, talk about what happened this evening, you know. I'm glad, I don't know who the reporter was, but he distinctly said, I think a female among members of the press corps this evening should ask a question regarding Kavanaugh or whatever, you know. And you know, the deal is he had to turn it into a sideshow or a spectacle. Oh, now I'm going to get hit. And it's like he's constantly defending himself and is getting tired. It speaks of an abnormality that this country has never gone through before. And I blame those folks. Yeah. I blame those folks who are buying into this nonsense, and especially the ones that are quietly out there still supporting him, knowing full well that there's something functionally there's something
wrong
dysfunctional about him, period.
Right. And he is obviously losing it, okay?
Oh, he is.
He went off script. He talks on and on. You notice he talks longer than he has in what? A long time. He was on the air for so long, but this man is losing it. And I'm glad. I'm glad to finally get rid of him some way or another. He is dangerous. He's not only dangerous to himself, but he's dangerous to the entire world. We have a maniac in the White House.
Yes.
And the whole world knows it. That's what that laugh is about. I mean, and it's just that, he's ponying up to Chairman Kim in Korea.
Oh.
You know, he's kissing the expletive of Putin. And all these things are so apparent to everybody in the world, and especially when you get in front of a crowd that a thinking crowd. You know, the world body is a thinking institution. And the whole purpose of forming the world body was to give a platform for the world to come to have the right to agree and disagree on issues that not everybody, but he turns this thing into his own personal circus. I had to do this. And, I wish I took the time to just play back how many times he said, I that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's despicable. That's so like it was a spectacle.
One of the things that's going to be a very clear optics at tomorrow's hearing is the cowardice of the 11 Republican men hide behind. And there's no, I mean, it doesn't matter which side Kavanaugh or Dr. Ford present the best face forward. It's the cowardice of the GOP and the men who refuse to acknowledge the right of women to speak on behalf of themselves in a forum where they get not have a surrogate to ask the question, but are incapable of asking the questions themselves because they are sexist. Comes off.
Well,
very
I mean,
clear.
They're capable of asking the questions. I don't think they want to be seen to ask the questions. They don't want that optic to be asked the question. They're capable of asking it. That's the whole problem. I mean, from my perspective, at least anyway, with all due respect, I mean, I think that, I mean, they're the ones who have these questions and are trying to raise raise some doubt or at least, doubt is going to be there, right? I mean, that's healthy. But, we've all listened to the way that they're coming across and how heavy-handedly and clearly intimidating they've tried to be, certainly with Grassley trying to rush the vote the very next day to have the vote. So, I mean, it's really beyond that. It's really a clear, and it should be a shining example, crystal clear to everybody, how much they're trying to game the system, how much they're willing to do underhanded, unethical things to get their way. And it's remarkable that,
the other thing that has to be asked, the question is, do they have a copy of the questions that she's going to ask? Because at that point, then who's orchestrating what? What game is being played? Because I have not heard that asked of any of the talking heads at this point, but it seems to me, since they picked the person, that they obviously have...
They've written the questions. I would say so. I would assume so.
That would have been placed and given to Judge Kavanaugh so that he could prep himself for the cross review. And so at some point, I hope a Democrat puts that on the floor, because at the point at which they keep saying it's a con game, who's conning who? Which three-card Monte game are we playing now? Okay? Because we've heard the con man himself calling this a con job.
Listen, if we let this nut stay in the White House, you know, without speaking out. I don't care about whatever issue it is. It's blame ourselves, okay? Because people please speak out more. You need to call the office, call the president's office, call Washington, call your politicians, okay? Your particular representative in your area, because we are all in this thing together. Do you know this guy could destroy the world?
Yeah,
all he has to do is press a button.
Not to cut you off, Eric, but you know, your mom just mentioned a moment ago about pressing the button. The audacity to actually use an example of Barack Obama, almost as if he was petrified. Again,
yeah.
He can't help himself. He has to denounce this. The man has been out of office almost 2 years now, and he's saying, had it not been for him, Obama would have pressed the button to start World War III with Kim. You know, I mean, it's
but
just,
also
that's
we know that's a lie. He's a proven liar though. So I mean, I think that only falls on receptive ears. When the ears belong to his support base and his real just blindly idiotic, unintelligent, uninformed base that have no perspective or are not interested in any other perspective, because clearly a thinking mind absorbs some bit of information. A mind
right.
that's able to absorb information, even a little bit, is able to potentially absorb more. So clearly those aren't thinking minds. Everybody knows that this guy's a liar by now. I mean, like what a couple hours before is when the UN happened, when they laughed in his face. So, you know, the fact that he would suggest it, I'm just waiting. I'm interested to see what Barack's response is going to be. Whether he said, you know, I never said that.
I don't think that Barack is going to be responding to this.
I mean, but that was a very specific claim that he was getting ready to go to war. So it is something I could see his Barack needing to respond to correct.
I wouldn't even
to correct the record. Well, I mean, whether he would or not, I think. My personal opinion is that it should be something that he should come out and correct the record, because we live in the age now when people could just say things, and if you don't respond to them, unfortunately, you know, I think Obama waited so long to respond to the birther issue. He chose to respond to it to produce his records or choose not to respond to it. But when someone puts a notion out there as much as Trump did, and when he banged the drum for the birther issue and took it to the extreme, he was forced because there was no response. There was no retort.
I don't think
the comeback.
I think Obama should stay out of this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he's got good sense, and he's staying out of this mess in the White House.
Right.
And let Trump live or die or do what he's going to be doing in the White House. He is a joke. He's a comedy act.
Right.
And we actually have people taking him seriously. And it is a serious position that he's in, and he's more than that. It's a worse position than the state of affairs that he has placed the United States in.
Right. Which
we have a dangerous person in the White House, you guys.
Right. Which is why Rosenstein, that whole issue of him. I don't know, you know, if you got what your guys' opinion about that is, but they probably weren't too being too sarcastic. Maybe to a certain degree was. About wearing a wire and invoking. I know they definitely probably realistically somebody mentioned the 25th Amendment amongst all the staff members to serve for this president.
Right.
Is that he is going to move that meeting tomorrow so it will not conflict with hearing. That's as of this evening. But right before we went on air this evening, a senator – or I believe it was a senator, has placed a suit against President Trump, 45, to put a halt to the hearings because of the obstruction of the executive office of keeping pertinent information from the senators receiving what the White House counsel refused to release regarding Kavanaugh's record. And so it was a constitutional gambit, and it's legal, and he has requested a judge to intervene to put a halt to tomorrow's hearing until all the papers have been released.
Wow.
You know, even with all of this information, and I want to get into that other information, the most recent kind of damning information, but, you know, as I think about all this stuff, it's really about the votes, right? It's always about counting votes. Who's voting for you, who's voting against you, even in the judiciary, right? How many judges have been appointed by conservatives and Republicans in office, you know. That's why they say behind Kavanaugh there's a long list of conservative judges that they can go to, just like how they're trying to absert the normal course of action within the chain of order in the attorney general's office, right? I'm sure you guys have heard that news, where normally if Rosenstein were to resign or get fired, normally what would happen is that his second-in-command would step up and assume that position. And, but now they're talking about what's-his-face's chief of staff assuming that position.
Right.
Who had written positive papers and positive opinions about Trump's ability not to be a prosecutor while in office, you know, who had promoted a pro-Trump stance. So the fact that they are constantly, constantly doing these little tricks and absurd and going around regular order, regular procedures, regular standard operating procedures that are in place is really evidence of you know, being having a wrongdoing and having a nefarious intentions to me. I mean, they keep trying to do it over and over again. I don't know what you guys.
Yeah, the Republican Party has been practicing a double standard. I mean, and this goes back to the whole 8 years Obama has been there. You know, he had the audacity to mention how he had a whole list of judgeships that he could act on, and that Obama didn't do anything. Well, if the Republican Party had allowed him to at least take into consideration some of the appointments that he wanted, except for, and I'm certain it was no easy task to appoint our great jurist from the Bronx here. Oh, I can't think of her name. The Latina lady.
Sotomayor.
Sotomayor. Yeah, you know, I mean, it's just amazing that he was able to get through with that. And the Republican Party is not budging at all. They come up with the playbook. You have to follow their script. And then he's got the audacity to turn around and say that the Democrats are a bunch of con men. Anything to denounce the party, you know, is basically in Trump's best interest when it comes to his support base. And as long as he can slam it and hold court for an hour and a half and tie up the networks, you know, for that length of time. And it, to me, it was just a new low. I don't ever remember. You know, I've been on this planet for a minute. I've seen administrations come and go. But I've never seen such sophomoric, childlike, and despicable behavior. And then when it came up to discussing his own parental skills with his daughters, because one of the reporters had at least the decent, not even, it's not about a question of decency, but at least the mindset to juxtapose what's going on with Dr. Ford and putting his two daughters or three daughters in the same situation, he couldn't come up with anything. Again, it's like smoke and mirrors. He'll direct the conversation. You know, everything is about, well, I've been in Kavanaugh's place where people falsely accused me of it, of things. And what if we had had a woman appointee and something? You know, it's just, that's not answering the question.
It's idiotic. Listen, I mean, you know, but I mean, you know, that's kind of the Fox crowd, right? That's the people who mindlessly watch Fox. Because anybody, like we were talking about earlier, anybody with a mind, after listening to this individual talk, he talks in circles, and you know when somebody's trying to lie to you and con you when you hear somebody talking in circles and rambling, just jumping on one type to the another, to the next, and trying to, you know, that old saying, if you can't dazzle him with brilliance, baffle him with bullshit or something like that.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, and that's what he's an expert in, you know.
Right.
And he's an expert. He's a carnival barker, right?
Here's the latest.
You want to say,
they keep falling out. They keep falling out the wall, y'all. This just reported by the Daily News. adding to a growing list of complaints, the Senate Judiciary Committee is reportedly investigating an anonymous allegation that Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh physically assaulted a woman while drunk
in 1998.
Yeah, this is an event that took place in New York. Republican Senator Cory Gardner of Colorado received the unsigned complaint that details a drunken D.C. night, he said in a statement late Wednesday night. So this just happened. The letter was delivered on Monday, at which point his staff turned it over to the Senate Judiciary Committee.
Oh, he's toast. He is toast.
Well,
I think the thing that's really getting ready to make him toast
is the thing that he's supposed to have been the guy, him and his buddy were the guys that steer guys into gang raping women. You know, they're trying to, I mean, that's the most damning thing. And that person has come out. I mean, that thing is, you know, the anonymous things, you know, when they start coming out like that, you know, sometimes they could look a little bit, appear a little bit, you know, like a witch hunt and a smear or easily explainable by them or a way to explain them away. But this one where the woman gets details and talks about how she watched him and one of his boys, you know, try to, A, get women drunk and then steer them into the room where the guys were in there having sex with them and basically, you know, like I said, forcing themselves on these women or these young girls. That's particularly outside the pale, right? I mean, you know, when the other woman comes out and says he revealed and pulled his pants down, you know, and people are like, but, you know, this other activity that's attributed to him, which is outside the realm of wild, drunken high school stuff, you know, I mean, where it really gets to, you can't explain that away. I mean, that gets to the fringes, you know, of that type of teenage behavior that you're going to attempt to explain away. When guys are doing stuff like that at an age that they were and trying to take advantage of women that way, that's particularly heinous.
You know,
as those things are going.
You know, I want to go in a different direction now. I'm so tired of Trump and his nonsense. He's dangerous. Yeah, he's got to go. Yeah, we all know that. So let's get busy and do that. And there's only one way to do it. Get out the vote, everyone, period. If you don't know that now, you suck. I want to go toward Bill Cosby. What do you guys think about Bill Cosby? What do you think about the years that he's expected to serve?
No, I think you should go first, you know.
Okay.
About Trump, I don't want to hear about him anymore.
Here's the thing about Bill Cosby. Guilty. Proven guilty. But he's not the poster boy for all that's wrong with the hashtag MeToo incident. There are several other males who we won't have to mention their names because we already know them, that are engaged in and have been charged with indecent moments sexually. Now, they haven't been found guilty. They haven't been brought to court yet. But the number of males who are outstanding in the field of entertainment and politics have not been brought to adjudication. And so now we have Mr. Cosby, who has been sentenced, found guilty, and they, of course, once again, now here's where it becomes an issue of the timing of this, because at the moment, if Eric, you and I were to write this script, we'd have been laughed out of Hollywood. There's no
that
way
that all
you
this
could
stuff
say,
happens. All this stuff comes to a head at the same time.
Exactly.
You couldn't make it up.
The notion they can't make it up. That's right. And the notion that it's all happening right now tells me there is in the universe there is a reconnoitering that's going on right now that we have no control of. And so stand clear of the stuff hitting the fan, because there's a lot more about to hit it.
Right.
That's,
well, also
that,
too,
that's excellent. I hadn't heard that word in a long time, reconnoitering.
I want to know what Byron is referring to then. Well, just the way things are going, I get what you're talking about.
Explain it to me, Byron.
A karma.
Well, we got Harvey Weinstein. We got so many that are outstanding that are basically just in the wings waiting to be brought forward. And this particular situation with the current Kavanaugh situation is pinpointing just how bad it is when you've got to use a black man as your poster boy for all that's wrong with this, with the sexual innuendos and misconduct. It's gotten to, I mean, that's been always been a stereotype, okay?
Well, yeah, of course. But I agree with that.
We're talking about Matt Lauer, Charlie Sheen, Harvey Weinstein, Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah.
I mean, how many times has the former chair of the House Republican, what's his name, Newt Gingrich? How many marriages did he go through? I mean, come on now. We're lining up a significant cavalcade of males who have so much power.
Powerful men. I mean, look at Leslie Moonves, but also too, you know, Kaz has some of those in particular. The particulars to his case are different than a lot of those other ones. You know, I mean, I think the whole drugging aspect is one that gets him because, you know, you talk about him and Harvey Weinstein, they're on the same level as far as I'm concerned, because Harvey sounded like he was just, you know, straight brutal with it. Cosby's giving people knockouts, giving people roofies, you know. I mean, they're on the same level pretty much. I mean, to me, the issue other than he got the crime, and as long as he gets the same amount of time, he doesn't get any more than what he would normally get if he was white. Obviously, you want to make sure from a racial perspective that he's not. But to me, the issue there is for, like, my generation of black boys, black men, Bill Cosby was an icon, a hero, you know, a positive image for us, and certainly one of the first African-Americans on TV, and one of those images that presented African-Americans in a professional manner, middle-class manner, you know, other than traditionally always being presented in a working class or poor environment or portrayed as poor characters. Remember, he was the first African-American who was running around being a spy on TV, carrying a gun, shooting at dudes. And a lot of times those dudes were white. So, I mean, Cause holds that cachet for a lot of us, you know, my age, who looked at certainly a middle-class black kid brought up in the suburbs and saw a dude like Bill Cosby, who the image that he was reflected was more similar to what I had was known about adult black men or father black men who are my father's age of that time. So, I mean, there's all of that he means to everybody. So to fall that far and to find out, you know, someone on the news was talking about, you know, people have different behaviors around different people in different times of their life, right? But to see that type of behavior that he was engaging in, you know, which is a behavior, a sexist behavior or a perspective that a lot of men of his generation had, but, you know, to take it to the extreme where you're putting things in people's drinks, that was, and they've been trying to catch him for so long doing that.
As far as I'm concerned about Bill Cosby, you know, he is one of the most disgusting persons I've heard.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I couldn't care less about Cosby.
Right.
Okay? You know, he is the one mass disappointment on earth. Okay?
Yes.
Bill Cosby, I don't give a about Bill Cosby, okay?
Right.
Because he was such a hero.
Right, exactly. That's
and
the point.
And he was a traitor. Okay?
Right.
He was a traitor to us. Black women.
True.
He was a traitor to black families. He was a traitor to the earth. Good Lord.
That just goes to show you, if I could just put a button on a point I'm making, is that you can't place your heroes and the worship, hero worship and images in entertainers and celebrities, you know. And it's very true nowadays. Even a lot of people want to do that. But Cos stepped outside of the realm of entertainer and personality in terms of some when he tried to be politically active or socially active. So he was a particular case, You know, I mean, individuals like Muhammad Ali, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X.
Don't even mention their names. Let me make my point. Just Muhammad Ali is a god compared to Bill Cosby.
Okay, great. Let me finish making my point. My point is, we're having a discussion, right? My point is that those individuals started out being leaders. They didn't start out being entertainers, except for Muhammad Ali was a boxer. But many of those individuals, their foray into public life was in a leadership position in something concerned about the community or trying to uplift people. And even though they, too, had their flaws and had their drawbacks, it was a thing that people looked at them in that light, you know. Cause kind of got it through proxy, right, through being next to it and then being so successful that the natural step for a lot of successful people is to help a cause, right? And being a black man, he was able to be roped into that. Ironically, you didn't really see him around the movement as much as you did like Harry Belafonte and other people, which is something to take note of as we look back on those times, you know. So it's something real disappointing and disgusting all at once, you know, where you look at him and say, how could you be rolling that way is basically what I want to say.
I don't know about how you guys feel about that. He's a human walking insult.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the thing is, I feel bad that someone who had such brilliance and such greatness, because to go as far as he did, to have the personal resources to go out and purchase, if given the opportunity, an entire television network before Oprah Winfrey's and the Michael Jordans and the Tyler Perry's came along, to have that ability to do that kind of financial manpower, I just find it so bad that his arrogance, and to me, there's a pathology with him. He's sick. He needs help.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't even show any kind of remorse towards these women. That and if he had even copped that, maybe he wouldn't be in jail. Maybe they would have just given him house arrest. But, you know, he had this smirk, whether he's feigning blindness or not. The bottom line is that, you know, his publicity people aren't helping either, you know, comparing him to Jesus and what happened. You know, when do we get
Wait
past
minute.
That?
Wait a minute. Compared him to what? Jesus.
The head guy, I can't think of his name, but he gave a statement after yesterday's sentencing that, you know, Bill Cosby is no different than Jesus Christ. They condemned him, and they, you know, he wanted to give he was inferring that there'll be something to be paid, you know, there'll be some sort of, payment for the retribution that he suffered through the hands of the court system in Pennsylvania. But the bottom line is, you know, there were so many people who came forward, and the fact that he acknowledged, and let me tell you something else too, Camille Cosby has some, I want to say, expletive going with her also. The fact
well,
that
she's
she
got
had
some culpability, certainly.
She had to know that was going on. I'm sorry. You don't sit there. Don't get me
don't,
started,
hey.
Man. You know?
Don't blame
I mean,
the woman.
It,
don't
this
blame
what,
the woman.
This is, huh? I'm
Are
sorry,
you blaming
Kay.
The woman?
I mean, you
then
know,
leave her name
it,
out
it
of it. What are you talking
wrong
about?
Wrong is wrong. If
yeah,
you're
but
wrong, you're
wrong. Blame him.
But, I mean,
how dare you talk about his wife? And
I
her
am
name
because
into
she
it.
Sat there.
She was
she
so mild.
Was
I really
she
think that
knew.
She might have been, beaten or something, because she was just too mild. Every time I saw Camille, she had a dopey smile on her face, like she wasn't even there.
Well,
there were times that I thought that he was giving
show
her
up
pills.
For the sentencing. His children
huh?
didn't show. His wife wasn't there. If there was that moral support, I would.
I don't blame his children for not coming there. I wouldn't
family.
Be there.
But the bottom line is, Kay, if
it's
I were
disgusting.
Married to you and I was conducting this activity behind your back,
I'd shoot you.
For 40, 50. That's why we're not married. Anyhow, I don't know. That bothered me. I mean, his arrogance bothers me.
Say that again, Wayne. I couldn't really hear you.
I'm no paragon of virtue, but.
Now,
You know,
now,
I'm no
Wayne,
paragon of virtue, but his arrogance bothers me.
Now, Wayne.
Yeah.
Here's the question. Given that we are condemning his arrogance and the presumption of his participating in some nefarious activities of sexual predatory issues, take this young Kavanaugh at 17, and you can see the elements of the drunken debauchery, the drugs, the gang rape. I mean, let's face it, a lot of that went on up in the Playboy Mansion in Larry Flint's house, okay? So you're talking about people of privilege who have taken advantage of their entitlement.
But
we're not giving the same. We're not evaluating this Kavanaugh under the same litmus test.
Well, I think there's the double standard. As I said, I go back. He's a sexual predator, and Bill Cosby's no different than if, in fact,
yeah,
there is
are.
Some
that was
substantial.
That was the case.
You know, just one is white, the other's black. The one that had, you know, one had more privileges than the other. You know. But then again, anyone without sin who casts the first. Go ahead.
Right. One's giving people pills, one's people trying to get people drunk. So it's the same thing. I think that in reference to Camille, I don't know if she knew that he was drugging women. She probably definitely knew that
she looked like she was drugging.
That could be possibly too. She definitely knew that he was cheating and he would have, you know, obviously various affairs with women. But to say that she knew that how he was rolling, you know, I could see that. I could see her not knowing that. You know, that might not be a part of what she knows about it.
Look,
you know,
I don't know. I always think women are smarter than men.
I do too. But to know that he's actually drugging them, you know, he's got them coming over and he's got that whole thing. But to know that he's actually putting a Mickey in their drink. You
That's
know, unless she comes in the house and sees one of them laid out, I don't necessarily know that that's something that she would know.
Yeah.
I don't believe that she never knew that he was had all these affairs and just had all these women. I think that was a fact, and she probably, you know, chose
Listen,
to live with her or whatever.
There were times when I would see her. As a matter of fact, I went to the same beauty salon at one time in Brooklyn that she was going to. And each time she came in there, she would sit there very, very, very quietly and saying nothing, almost as if she had taken like a downer or something.
Yeah, that's,
so,
but you
and
can't
that,
really.
And that, now I can't really say that.
Yeah, you can't
but
really
that's what
that.
It seemed to me because she
that
was
a beautiful
impression. Person, but very quiet, very subdued. She never said anything. I mean, you know. But
yeah.
Anyway, that's
well,
another story. I'm also
a quiet person, very quiet person.
I also was looking at a book that I have here. That is called, wait until you hear the authors, The Black Book.
Okay.
The Black Book is a fantastic book on black America. And guess who wrote it?
Okay.
Anybody want to make it a guess?
No.
Bill Cosby.
Bill Cosby wrote
Bill
that, or he
Cosby.
Wrote an introduction for that?
Bill Cosby. Okay?
Okay.
You see this right
that's
here?
The introduction. He wrote the introduction.
Okay. He put it back. He put this thing together.
Right.
I don't care what he did.
Okay.
But
I've had it
for
a
long period of time.
Oh, right.
It's
it looks like
wait a minute, Eric.
Okay, but you're
the book.
Go ahead. I didn't want you to say that he wrote the book and he didn't write the book. Let's try to be factually correct. Now, what I'm looking at is an introduction that looks like it was written by Bill Cosby. Let's try to not just say any old thing and let's try to maintain some factualness.
Yes, as a matter of fact, I will.
Perhaps he gave an introduction and actual historians might have written
didn't.
That. Okay. Well, let's get back to the Kavanaugh story, since we don't want to just promote stuff that's not quite true. You could probably find it over there who actually wrote the book. But I think that if this last, this most recent accusation about him and the guys getting drunk and trying to take advantage of women, I think that's just as heinous as the situation with Cosby. And I think that'll be the situation that does him in, really. And it seems like they're trying to force the vote tomorrow so that they don't have to deal with that. But then the question is, if that comes out to be true, and those facts are the facts that remain to be true, to me, if the Republicans force this guy in to be Supreme Court nominee and confirm him and all that stuff turns out to be true, I'm betting you almost 90% that they are losing elections. They're losing the midterm. They might lose the House and the Senate and the presidency if that comes back.
Well,
I don't know what you guys think about that. What's your perspective about that?
I agree, but I think there's also a protocol in which the jurist or the nominee could be impeached if all of this information. Because just think about if this body of white old men turn around and give him the green light to go through, and then it comes out after an extensive investigation, a forensic investigation, coming up with all sorts of empirical evidence, how could you have this man sitting on the bench all, you know, for a lifetime and allow that to happen, you know? So
if that happens, and you're right, because constitutionally the only way to remove them is through impeachment, be very aware that Clarence Thomas' head will be on the block.
Oh, please, you know.
What's that about retroactively attempting to remove him out?
Yes,
why do you say that, Byron?
Because ultimately, remember the judiciary panel that investigated and questioned Anita Hill did not question the people that she said were knowledgeable of these events. They didn't.
Okay.
They only questioned Anita Hill. The panel refused to question the people she said had knowledge or other accusers who were not allowed to testify.
So what is that? You're saying
the
that they can go back retroactively all these years later and try to go after Clarence Thomas?
Exactly. That would be a good idea to look into that more deeply, of course.
Well, yeah, because if they're going back till 1980-something with Kavanaugh, then, you know, I guess there is no time limitation on how far they can go back.
Yeah.
And, you know what I'm saying?
I never thought about a long shot.
Yeah.
But the truth of the matter is, he came in under a cloud. He has an asterisk next to his name,
right. Just
like Kavanaugh will have an asterisk next to his name, and Gorsuch has an asterisk next to his name.
Exactly.
I'm under the
belief
that constitutionally, a sitting president who is under indictment or charges of criminal activity should be not have the opportunity to name anybody
exactly.
Oh, yeah, you're in complete agreement.
Yeah.
The question is, two things. I just wanted to get to address that point. I don't think they're going to allow Clarence Thomas to go back retroactively like that. That would be a nice dream, but I think that, you know, we need to worry about making sure the Kavanaugh and then the legion of conservatives that'll be lined up behind him don't get on. And then secondly, is it possible, in fact, is there some constitutional rule or something somewhere that says this president under investigation or indicted as a non-conspirator, is that part of the Constitution that he cannot name a Supreme Court justice, that certain powers are frozen, so to speak, if he's, under suspicion?
You talk about Trump or Kavanaugh?
Trump.
I'm talking about Trump.
The 25th Amendment is the closest thing constitutionally that could draw into that as it relates to an individual who was mentally incapacitated. Of course, that's a long shot as well. But out of all of this that's happening right now, we have a constitutional crisis. And we are going to That's right. Our country right now, one way or the other, after tomorrow, you can best believe that by the midterms and by the end of this year, there will be some constitutional amendments to make adjustments so this never happens again.
Yeah.
You know one thing? I've made up my mind here that I'm going to try to get in touch with Anita Hill and see if we can get her on the air.
Okay.
So let's get in touch with a few people in Washington, Eric.
Great.
Can you...
We'll see what we can
do. Yeah, okay. I'd love to have her on.
Also, the other thing that I was going to suggest or say, it kind of escapes my train of thought now along those lines that you were saying, it's interesting how close he comes up to the edge of being considered mentally unfit, right? I mean, if you listen to this guy talk, certainly if you listen to that press conference today, some of the ramblings and some of the other things he does, it does seem to be someone who is mentally unfit. I think if he gets close to trying to establish any type of military conflict as a way or means of distracting everybody from his inevitable demise, I think you will see that take place by hopefully some of those individuals who are still in charge in his administration that want to be somewhat responsible. Maybe Kelly will get some sort of
decency
in his body.
I have been saying for a long time is that something is wrong with that man.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
For a long period of time.
Long before he got that far.
Right. I mean, just recently. Really, just listening to him. Listening to what he says and the way he says it. And, you know, over and over and over again, there's something wrong with him.
Oh, yeah.
Aside from looking like a little Hitler.
Yeah, that didn't happen overnight. That happened in the Central Park case.
No.
That happened, you know, when Giuliani was mayor. I mean, all the things that he did. You know,
and the Central Park case was bad enough, Wayne. Remember that?
Right. He staged
the
campaign, you know, back then.
It was his fault.
Right.
What bothers me.
Those kids went to jail.
Exactly. And you know, and it's I went to a symposium that Al Sharpton had about 9 months ago, Columbia University, and one of the Central Park Five made an appearance there. And
really?
You can hear the bitterness and the embarrassment and shame in this young man's voice. The fact he is still disturbed and destroyed of having spent all that time in jail for a crime he didn't commit. You know, I just think it's unfortunate that this guy, he's going to pay for this. This is the only thing I can say. You don't go through life, you know, just basically denigrating people without paying a price for it. I've seen this happen too many times, and as our beloved Byron said, you know, the world is going through a correction right now, and I'm certain that correction is going to come real soon for Trump. You know, it's just not soon enough because I thought what I saw today was a spectacle, really.
Yeah, really was.
Byron, I have an assignment for you. I have an assignment for you. Can you get to the Central Park Five?
Okay, we'll see where we can.
Okay,
sure,
let's get
see.
One, two, or then on the air, okay? And it will be done. It will be done. I guarantee you somebody from the Central Park Five will be talking. Because remember, Wayne, we covered that.
Right.
And
that
I was furious about that.
Yeah, that was a part of history and stuff like that.
And the person who was keeping me calm was Ali Al-Rahman from the police department.
Right.
Black
right.
police. Okay? Because
right.
I just couldn't believe that was happening to a bunch of kids running through Central Park.
Exactly.
Well, we just had another guy, another young man who was just released from jail the other day. I forget his name. He was in jail for about 27 years for a crime that he didn't commit. It was just on the local news yesterday, I believe it was. I mean, this is why, you know, hopefully we can get Trump out of there before he completely undoes or destroys everything, all of the accomplishments that Barack Obama put in place and the things that he put in place, because he is trying to dismantle all of the things that Obama has done. And he's already tried to, as much as possible, get rid of Obamacare, which they still can't do because obviously some people like it, the people that are getting health care. But you know,
we should keep in mind,
if you look at, well, if you look at the money he's taken from FEMA and put into ICE, you know, all of these things that Trump is trying to undo that Obama did. So the sooner we're able to get him out of office, the better.
I remember when Donald Trump had the New York Times, was it Wayne?
Right.
Or Byron, Central Park Five. He paid for that full page ad.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
It was Donald Trump.
Right, he did that.
And you can tell the Times is not his favorite paper, so I don't know why he spent the money getting that kind of publicity, but he's trashing the paper of record every chance he can. You know?
Well, that was then. This is now, right? I mean, now that he doesn't like the objectivity of them. It doesn't like the objectivity of any of the news agencies and news outlets. That's why he has a war on the news and war on facts. I mean, he's the chaos, you know, we got to remember this is the chaos president who he's the only one that does good in the chaos that he creates, you know.
Right.
But it was like Byron was saying, that chaos is coming back to get him, and hopefully it just wipes a clean slate of all of them. I mean, those 12 older Caucasian men that don't have the guts to ask the woman the question that they want to ask her. They have to have another a woman to ask her. You know, hopefully they'll get caught up in that too. You know, it's just, you know, it's unbelievable the lengths to which a lot of these people are willing to go. It's like old-time America. It really is.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's a collective agreement to take the low road, you know, amongst a number of Americans, at least 65 million, obviously. You know, a collective agreement to be prejudiced and racist, a collective agreement to say that's not enough to make me cry, you know, that this certain behavior doesn't cross the line for me, you know, and
right.
That's really the scary thing, you know. Certain things aren't deal breakers, and you're wondering, what is a deal breaker? Is it the abject corruption of our system? Because if you look at the Republican Party, it's really, you know, I always kind of had the kind of thing, you know, you get the notion from childhood, what impression that you get. My impression was always that they were for the rich, Democrats were for the poor. And
right.
Now my impression really is that they are really willing to cheat, to do whatever it takes to get their purposes.
Oh, please.
You know, this is the second Republican administration. Everybody wants to forget the first one that they kind of cheated in, you know, we're going to stop counting the votes and stuff in Florida. They cheated there, too. They cheated there, too. And that their president at that time was having the similar difficulties until somehow this attack happened to distract everybody from how bad he was doing, which is why he was spending the first 2 weeks in Crawford, Texas, and not coming to Washington to take his rightful place as president. But, you know, we forget a lot of things, you know, and that's what they count on. And certainly when they appeal to the racism in a lot of these people that want America to go back to what it was because they think it's other people's fault for them not doing as well as they used to do, you know.
Well, that
any
family paid a price,
John?
Too. Now, I was
Who's
just
going
to say that family paid a price, too, because, I mean, the deal is
Which
they
family?
Wanted to be a political dime. The Bushes. They thought they were like the Kennedys, you know.
Yeah.
And at least Trump put a halt to that. You know, that's the only thing
right.
I can say.
Right, he sure did, and they went out with a whimper. But closing thoughts from you gentlemen. Byron, you have any closing thoughts as we come up on another 2 minutes worth of time?
Well, here's something that's on a lighter note. If you like swing dancing, I know I do. This weekend is the Harlem Roots and Rhythm Urban Dance Festival, September 28th through the 30th, and most of it is free. You can come out there and dance, y'all. Come on. Y'all know you know how to do that swing dance. I know. Hey.
Where?
Kay, I know you know how to swing dance. Come on. It's old
school. Give
the
address one more time.
You get in touch with them. That's harlemswingdance.org. harlemswingdance.org. And you want to contact
Barbara
Brown? Is
this for a carnival? Type
yeah, well, it's in three locations, but if you go to their website, it'll tell you everything. And it's
great.
A lot of fun, y'all. Swing dancing is great stuff.
All right.
Anyway,
great. Thanks, Brother Byron Saunders. Thanks for it. We'll talk to you again next week, Brother Byron.
Absolutely.
All right, my brother.
And
talk to you next week. Hold on for 1 second. I know you're anxious, Mom. Mr. Wayne Gilman, legendary newsman. Tell the people good night, and you'll go to see him
good
or
night.
Do whatever it is that
good
you can
night to
contact
all.
Him.
And it's a wonderful week. Wonderful week. We'll see what happens next week. Yeah.
All righty. I know. Stay tuned, right? See you next week. This has been the Kay Thompson Live Show.
Stay tuned, everyone, and stay tuned for next week. Kay Thompson Live, same time, same place, here on Blog Talk Radio.
All right. We got another couple of seconds to go. So, like I was saying, this has been the Kay Thompson Live Show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. You can find us every Wednesday, 8 to 9 p.m. You can also listen to this show anytime, any past shows anytime you want, because the shows are, in fact, archived, ladies and gentlemen.
Right.
So you can listen to those old ones or your favorites anytime you want. So we're going to see you again next week. stay tuned for the Sagas of America, huh, on the Kate Thompson Live Show. Good night.